Gift with Purchase Remix Bonus Chapter by Saber CMC, read by CookieMom6067. Steve felt the impact of the punching bag against his knuckles echo up his arm and across his shoulder in a large arc of pain. His other hand was already a blur of motion as it, too, hit the side of the bag, sending it reeling as he pulled his elbow back to his side, fists up, bare feet braced apart on the mat. It felt good, the familiar thunk of the hard sand inside the bag, the rough scrape of the tape over his knuckles inside the gloves, the brief spike of pain that threaded through his muscles as he moved. It had been a long time since he'd done this, since the school gym in New York, really, but his body hadn't quite forgotten the rhythm, one after the other, the blows already swinging before the feeling from them vibrated up his arm. It hurt, but that somehow felt better than not hurting, than feeling the same sort of numb nothingness that he'd felt since he left the facility this afternoon. Sign here, please. Dunk. Just a reflex reaction, Mr. Rogers. Best not to read anything into it. Intracranial pressure monitor. Dunk. Non-convulsive seizures. Dunk. Decompressive craniectomy. Dunk. PEG tube. Dunk. Do not resuscitate. Dunk. Sign here, please. Bag do something to you? Tony asked from the doorway, startling him. Steve's head swiveled around so fast he felt a wash of dizziness for a moment and reached out to rest a glove against the swinging bag, as much to have something to touch as to stop its motion. Tony was leaning against the doorframe, looking like he had just come from a meeting or something that required the wearing of a suit instead of the usual hard rock t-shirt and jeans he favored around the workshop. It looked good on him. Steve couldn't help but notice, though it jarred him for some reason. Then he realized he hadn't seen Tony in a suit since that first night, when he'd been so nervous he'd barely been able to string words together, let alone appreciate anything about how Tony looked. There was a strange, fleeting expression of almost fondness that floated across Tony's face, lost before it ever actually settled there, and Steve wondered, not for the first time, how Tony remembered that first night, when he'd brought Steve home and asked for only what Steve chose to give. Tony did look good, Steve acknowledged, eyes flicking up and down where Tony sprawled against the edge of the door, not quite in or out of the gym. Of course he did, draped in a few $1,000 worth of custom suit. But he also looked different in a way that sent a fissure of disquiet down Steve's spine, settling like a stone in his stomach. He didn't like it, Steve realized with a sharp pang. This reminder that Tony was a client, that there was some vast gulf of difference between them that had a lot of zeros behind it. Steve thought of the line of suits that hung in his own closet now, courtesy of Tony, gifts that were hard to see as anything other than payment for services rendered, he thought, then immediately regretted it. Though whether the regret was because it wasn't fair to Tony or because it was too close to being true, he wasn't sure. Sorry, Steve said automatically, though he wasn't sure why the apology. He wasn't doing anything wrong, though everything felt wrong, like he'd broken some rule, and no one would tell him what it was he'd done. The apology seemed to throw Tony off as well, his dark brows drawing together in a frown. We could put the bag in time out, Tony suggested, trying for joviality, but Steve could hear the uncertainty in his voice. He had his hands shoved in his pockets, legs crossed at the ankle where he leaned against the doorframe, like he was trying too hard for nonchalance. Tony did that a lot, Steve knew. Threw up these affectations like armor when he was uncomfortable, though Steve didn't fully understand why, or why Tony spent so much of his time trying to be someone he clearly barely even liked. Tony was so much, sometimes. It was like he spent half his energy trying to contain himself, and even Steve could see the strain splintering at the edges. He wondered if that was why he was here. Tony could be anyone he wanted, with Steve, without any worry of rejection. That was true, Steve admitted easily to himself. It had been true for a while now. It had just stopped being because of the money a long time ago. It's fine, Steve murmured, bringing one of the gloves to his teeth and tugging at the laces. I'm done. You don't have to stop, Tony said. Not because of... I'm early. I wasn't going to bother you. I told you to use the gym anytime you wanted. Happy said... Tony stopped, clearing his throat. Happy said you'd been down here a while. Steve tugged the first glove off and then made short work of the other, tossing them to the side. He could feel his workout clothes sticking to his skin, sweat trickling down his neck. He suddenly felt strangely exposed, which was ridiculous considering, but there was a bright flare of annoyed anger hiding behind the feeling, partially directed at himself, partially looking for a target more satisfying than the punching bag. For a flash of a moment, he hated Tony. Hated that Tony was early. Hated that he was glad of it. Hated that he had to come here like this. Hated that Tony paid him to do it. Hated that he took it, and hated that each time he left, he was thinking about the next time, the next night, the next moment, when Tony would make him feel, and it wouldn't be pain. But sometimes it was so close to perfect that it almost felt like the same thing, and he knew that didn't make any sense, but what in this did? I'm done, Steve said again, the words coming out flat and tired sounding, and he saw Tony flinch. Steve let out a long, deep huff of air and looked down at his feet where his toes dug into the blue mat. He was in Tony's house, using Tony's gym, wearing clothes Tony bought him, and lashing out because Tony kept giving him things he didn't want to need. Truth was, he was using Tony just as much as Tony was using him, and being pissed at Tony about circumstances beyond his control was not only unfair, but using Tony in a way that Tony, of all people, didn't deserve. I'm sorry, Steve said again, but he meant it this time. It was just a rough morning. Everything's fine now, really. Steve turned before he could see Tony's reaction and walked to the bench by the mirrored wall where his bag was sitting next to the bottle of water. He didn't want to see concern on Tony's face. For some reason, he just couldn't look at that right now. It isn't the hard blow that breaks you, he thought, as he sat down and grabbed the water bottle. It's the soft touch, he thought. That's the one that gets you. He could almost feel it skimming over his skin, feather light and heavier than anything on earth. He couldn't handle that right now. Not from Tony. It was too close to what he wanted to be so damn far from what he could have. Steve ran a thumb up and down over the ridges of the bottle and across the plastic label. It was the same kind they had at the facility, in one of those big jugs on top of the dispenser with the cone-shaped paper cups next to it. Cone-shaped, so you couldn't set it down somewhere. Wouldn't want to get rings on the tabletop, or leave the place looking a mess, he supposed. Had to keep up appearances. Steve, Tony said low and rough. Steve looked up and saw Tony move from the doorway to the edge of the mat, watching him in the intense way Tony did sometimes. Like if he could, he would pull Steve apart and figure out what was wrong. Steve supposed if anyone could, it would be Tony. Is everything okay? He wanted to tell him. In that moment, dear God, he wanted to tell him so badly. Whatever wall he'd built between Tony and the rest of his life had never seemed thinner for that one quick breath, scraped down to nearly nothing. Ms. Romanov's admonitions be damned. Sign here, please. Steve could feel the words building up in the back of his throat, his eyes prickling against the tide of them. He looked down and saw his right hand curled into a fist around a pen that wasn't there. But he could see the scrawl of ink in his head, and he didn't want to. Didn't want to close his eyes and see that. So he opened them and looked up at Tony. Steve put the bottle of water back in his bag and stood up from the bench, facing Tony, keeping his gaze locked on Tony's dark, wide eyes as he shrugged his sweat-soaked shirt over his head, then pushed his pants and boxers down past his hips, kicking them out of the way as they puddled at his feet. Steve heard Tony's sharp intake of breath, his own chest tightening as if pulled by the sound. Tony was watching him, eyes sharp, body poised off the doorframe like he was suspended halfway through a motion. They'd been here before, Steve thought, the memory of standing in the living room while Tony looked at him flashing through his mind again, though it felt vastly different this time. This time it was him asking Tony, though he wasn't sure what he was asking for, just that Tony would give it, and that was enough. Steve, Tony breathed out, swaying forward slightly. Tony's eyes were blown wide, dark pools of want flicking up and down over him, heating Steve's skin like wisps of fire. Are you? Do you? Tony stammered, then closed his mouth, one hand scrubbing over his face like he could wipe away the words. God, you're beautiful, Tony rasped out, then seemed surprised by the sound of his voice, like he hadn't meant to say it out loud. You don't. We don't have to, Tony husked out, studying Steve intently for a moment, eyes narrowed, then dropped his gaze, like he had been expecting to find something in Steve's expression but didn't quite want to see it. Tony looked down and away, eyes skittering across the floor as he shifted back and forth on his feet. Then his gaze seemed to drag back to Steve of its own accord. Tony's eyes were heavy-lidded and filled with a desolate sort of hope that might have been nothing more than Steve's own reflection, except that it shifted to something harder, needier, a flash of hunger and lust glittering behind Tony's dark eyes that sent a spike of heat through Steve's chest and making his stomach swoop and clench. Steve could feel himself harden and remembered the way Tony had looked at him that first night, the feeling it had given him, a sense of power in a world where he seemed to have so little of that. It wasn't power that thrummed through him now, not exactly. Something else, far more potent, he thought. Steve wasn't sure what he wanted in the moments before. A distraction. A way out. A way into something else. Anything beyond the swirl of anger, fear, and frustrated helplessness that seemed to fill his head any time he opened his mind to the yawning maw of a future he didn't want to face. Now, looking at Tony, he wanted something else. He wanted Tony to see himself the way Steve could see him, if only for a little bit. Or, if only a little bit. The way you can only ever see the best version of yourself, parts and pieces and reflections of the whole, but never all at once. Maybe he was using Tony. And maybe Tony was using him. But they were giving each other something, too. Something maybe both of them had needed. Steve walked over to stand in front of Tony, his hands going to circle Tony's waist, thumbs dipping below the waistband of Tony's trousers to brush against the warm skin there. Tony's hands darted out, fluttering over Steve's stomach, heat and pressure coiling and settling there, only to seem to snake out to every part of him that Tony touched. He was already half hard, cock jerking forward like it was searching for Tony's hand. What do you want? Tony husked out, voice rough as his hands scrabbled up and down over Steve's arms and shoulders. Put your hands on the mirror, Steve said, nodding his head towards the mirrored wall behind him. Tony looked askance at him, then at the wall, tongue darting out to coat his lips. Tony coughed, like his throat had gone dry. Are you? He swallowed. Are you sure? Trust me, Steve replied, moving behind Tony. Over Tony's shoulder, he could see them standing together in the mirrored wall, Tony in his perfect suit, Steve naked and sweat slicked behind him. Tony's eyes were wide, eyes glinting in the bright overhead lights as he caught Steve's gaze. Trust me, Steve said again, making it a request. Tony held his gaze a beat longer, then dropped his eyes to the floor before moving forward. When Tony stood in front of the mirror, his eyes found Steve's again, something heated and determined moving behind them. Tony's mouth was parted slightly, breath coming in pants. His tongue darted out to wet his lips, and Steve's eyes traced the movements in the mirror before catching Tony watching him in the glass. I do trust you, Tony said, bringing his hands up to place the palms on the mirror in front of him. His voice was firm, but Steve could see the tremor that ran through him as he braced his hands on the cool panes of glass. Steve wondered then if he'd stepped over some invisible line that only Tony could see. He could stop this now, and they could go upstairs to Tony's bed, and Tony could make him forget his own name. There was something dangerous in this, something he couldn't quite grasp, but he was certain that if he pulled back now, Tony would never give him the chance again. They would go back to everything they'd been before, but this moment was going to pass, and both of them would have lost something Steve was just now beginning to glimpse. Steve moved behind where Tony stood, body slightly slanted towards the mirror. Tony's eyes were staring at the glass, but they were unfocused, mouth open as his breath came in low, shallow pants. The fingers of one hand were curved as if he could gain purchase against the smooth surface, the other pressed flat, so hard the flesh had gone white. Steve ran his hands up and down Tony's arms, the muscles bunching under Tony's suit jacket as he stroked. He finally placed one of his own hands over each of Tony's, splaying them out to cover Tony's. He leaned his head down to the curve of Tony's neck, moving his mouth over the skin just below Tony's ear, where the pulse jumped against his lips. "Steve," Tony choked out, sucking in a gasping breath of air. "What are you doing?" Tony asked with a groan. "Look," Steve said, lifting his eyes long enough to catch Tony's confused gaze in the mirror. "Look at yourself. Look how beautiful you are. You're amazing, Tony," Steve continued, flattening his chest to Tony's back. "Do you feel how much I want you? You haven't even touched me yet." Tony blinked at him, then twisted his head to the side, tearing his gaze away from the reflection. "You don't have to do this," he ground out. You don't have to do this. That's not what you're... "Not what I'm here for?" Steve questioned, bringing one hand up to cup the side of Tony's face that lay buried into his shoulder and gently nudging Tony's head back until Tony was facing forward again. "What am I here for, then?" Steve murmured the words into Tony's neck. "What if I want to be here for this?" "Steve," Tony groaned, low and hollow, part plea, part warning. His eyes were hard, something almost brutal in his gaze, watching Steve like he was trying to puzzle out one of his equations that wouldn't cooperate. Steve wasn't sure which one of them was closer to breaking apart. Maybe both of them. But they held each other together in some way he could only begin to grasp, and this thing between them had never seemed more fragile, like there was a precipice in front of him and he could step off and fall. He might have already fallen. Maybe that was the point. "Shh," Steve admonished, warm breath ghosting over Tony's skin. He let his hands fall again to Tony's waist, holding Tony's hips steady against him. His fingers skimmed over the waistband, finding the belt buckle and swiftly undoing it and the button underneath. Tony's hips jerked against his hand, and Steve pressed a flat hand to Tony's stomach, stilling him, and heard Tony grunt. Steve pulled the zipper down, the sound the only thing other than their mingled, rasping breaths to break the quiet. Steve pushed the fly of Tony's pants wide, then used both hands to tug them, and the silk boxers down past Tony's hips. Tony's cock, thick and heavy, jutted out as soon as it was freed, the tip edging against the mirror, leaving a streak where it dripped pre-cum onto the glass. Tony's eyes were still on him, watching his movements in the mirror, hands curled into fists against the glass. Steve knelt down, feeling the gym mat sink a bit beneath his weight, and tugged off Tony's shoes and socks, then pulled Tony's pants and boxers the rest of the way off of him, until Tony was bared from the waist down. He knew Tony was still uncomfortable about his chest, whatever wound he'd received in Afghanistan, so Steve didn't push it. He looked up, drinking in the sight before him. There was something obscenely glorious about seeing Tony like this, about having put Tony like this, half naked, under the bright glare of the gym lights, smearing himself against the mirror as he waited for Steve. There was a fine sheen of perspiration across Tony's brow. His eyes were wide and so dark Steve could only see a ring of white around them. Tony's mouth was open as he breathed in long, shaky breaths, tongue darting out occasionally to wet his lips. He looked utterly wrecked already, and it was the most beautiful thing Steve had ever seen. He leaned forward and pressed his mouth to Tony's hip, tasting the tang of sweat on skin there, then followed the taste around the curve of Tony's hip to the hollow where it met his thigh. He breathed in the musky, heady scent of him, letting his hands roam up and down Tony's thigh and over Tony's ass to the ridge of Tony's spine. He heard Tony suck in short, hiccuping breaths, then a high-pitched, thready moan that he realized was coming from him, splitting the silence. One of Tony's hands shot out and grabbed a fistful of Steve's hair and pulled hard, snapping Steve's head back. Steve looked up at Tony, waiting, keeping up the motion of his hands, more soothing now than anything. Tony was looking down at him with a fierce, intent gaze, eyes searching Steve's face. "You're here for me," Tony whispered forcefully. The words clipped, almost brutal, belied by the way Tony's hands gentled, scraping through Steve's hair and down his cheek to cup his jaw. Steve felt his own cock harden, the pressure liquefying in his belly, spreading a tight burst of half pain through from his balls to the tip of his cock. His whole body felt lit with some kind of cold fire burning under his skin. He wanted Tony, wanted to be with Tony, wanted everything, but most of all, wanted Tony to know that he did, to believe it, even when he couldn't say it, not yet. "For me, say it," Tony hissed, voice crackling and breaking around the words like the words themselves were painful. "Say it," Tony whispered harshly, fingers pressing almost viciously into Steve's jaw where he held him. "I'm here for you," Steve said, trying to keep his voice steady even as the words nearly choked him. He meant it. God help him, he meant it. And he was going to get a fat envelope of cash from Romanoff, and he had never loathed anything more than himself right then, when he knelt here and told Tony how he felt and knew he was going to take the money. "For you, Tony." Tony gave a quick, jerky nod, then released his hand from Steve's jaw and placed it back on the mirror in front of him, eyes locked now on his own reflection in the glass. Steve pressed his mouth again to the line of bone that jutted against Tony's hip, tracing it over the curve, then going up on his knees to kiss a path along Tony's lower back, hands coming up to cup the globes of Tony's ass, massaging the supple skin. He heard Tony release a long, low, shuddering breath that was part moan, and looked in the mirror long enough to catch the bob of Tony's throat as he tried to swallow. There was a steady dribble leaking from Tony's cock down the mirror, leaving a smear of fluid across the glass. It was beautifully erotic, Steve thought, the evidence of how much Tony wanted him marking the glass. Steve reached out and swiped a thumb through it, then brought it to his mouth, letting his tongue flick out to taste.
Fuck. Fuck. God, fuck. Steve, Tony chanted, hips spasming against the glass.
Tony groaned at the sensation as the tip of his cock ran across the cool, smooth surface, unable to find the friction he was looking for. Steve looked up and caught Tony's gaze in the glass, then brought his thumb up and sucked it into his mouth, releasing it with a wet pop when it was clean. Tony's head fell forward, his forehead banging against the glass with a soft thud.
"If driving me to a heart attack is your plan, you should know that I haven't changed the will yet," Tony said tightly, eyes squeezed shut, palms fisting then releasing to flatten against the glass.
"I'll keep that in mind," Steve replied, a grin forming. "Look," Steve said, nuzzling at Tony's hip again. "Look at yourself," Steve insisted, turning his head to lay it against Tony's hip. "You're beautiful. Your mind, your heart, your body, all of you. You're beautiful, Tony."
"Please," Tony whispered brokenly,
eyes blinking rapidly as he opened and closed his mouth. Steve could feel Tony's body stiffen under his hands, the muscles tensing all at once, like he was girding himself for a blow.
Please, don't. I can't. I want. Just don't. Please, I can't.
Okay. Okay, Tony, Steve soothed, punctuating each word with a soft kiss to the hollow curve of Tony's back as he shifted behind him.
Steve, Tony started, then stuttered to a choked-off gasp as Steve cupped his bottom with both hands, lifted, and spread him apart.
Shh, Steve said again. This time the warm puff of air covering Tony's exposed hole.
Jesus fucking Christ,
Tony managed, his head tipping back until he was staring up at the blinding overhead lights, a deep quaking moan torn from his throat. Steve's whole body thrummed with energy at the sound, his own cock, a matching version of Tony's, leaking fluid over his stomach and thighs and onto the mat beneath him. There was something about having Tony like this that sent a heavy surge of power and protectiveness through Steve. Tony and his tactile hands, always touching, making Steve feel alive, driving out everything else, his watchful eyes seeing so much and not nearly enough. And here he was, hands immobile and eyes forced to watch only his own reactions because he trusted Steve. It was more than Steve should have, really, this faith that Tony placed in him when he couldn't fully return it, not yet. He couldn't take that chance. Sign here, please. Steve leaned forward and breathed out a huff of air again, feeling Tony shiver even as his skin heated, growing slick with sweat. He darted out his tongue, flicking it over the ridged rim, then flattened it out, licking a long, wet stripe from just behind Tony's balls up and over his hole. Above him, Tony shouted a broken-off curse, his head falling forward to lull against the glass, cock hard and purpling where it pressed across the mirror. Steve repeated the motion again, pressing harder against the soft, velvety flesh, and continuing the motion until he reached the base of Tony's spine, mouthing a kiss over the knob of bone there.
"Ngh," Tony groaned. "Fuck. Fuck. God, Steve. Fuck. Please. Please," Tony stammered, a senseless stream of words spilling from his mouth.
Steve lowered his head again and spread Tony apart with his hands. He waited a beat until Tony's body started to jerk and stutter, calf muscles bunching and contorting as he tried to keep still, then bent his head. Steve let his mouth hover over Tony's hole for a long moment, warming it with his breath, then dabbed at the puckered edge, poking and prodding while Tony moaned, low and long and broken, fractured by sharp, harsh, stuttering cries, and pushed back against Steve's mouth. That was all the encouragement Steve needed. He used his hands to spread Tony further apart so that his hole gaped slightly and pushed his tongue inside the ring of muscle, tracing the circle before he pushed deeper, licking the contours before thrusting his tongue in and out in sharp, insistent jabs. He heard a loud bang and withdrew enough to look up and see that Tony had slammed a fist against the glass, thankfully not breaking it or his hand, but his head was hanging low between his shoulders, breath coming in short pants. Steve sank lower on his knees and let his tongue work the sensitive skin behind Tony's balls, pushing into the thin layer with his mouth, then following with his fingers, massaging and pressing into the spot where he knew Tony could feel it deep inside. Tony was mumbling something that might have been math. Steve wasn't sure. Tony's eyes were closed, lips barely moving as his fingers curled and unfurled over and over, scrabbling for some kind of purchase that wasn't to be found. Steve continued kissing his way back to Tony's hole, letting his mouth work at the rim, sucking lightly at the edge of muscle, then over the hole itself, tongue plunging deep again. He kept two fingers pressed deep behind where Tony's balls were pulled tight and heavy, massaging them deeply into the soft, sensitive skin there, as his tongue stroked over Tony's hole in rapid motions. He withdrew his tongue and thrust with his fingers at the same time he sucked hard at Tony's hole, tearing a cry from Tony's throat that turned into a rough, garbled groan. Tony started squirming against Steve's hands and mouth, body contorting, shaking with effort, then stilling only to repeat the cycle again.
He was pushing back against Steve's mouth, seeking more, mouth hanging open in a silent grimace. Tony's cock was full and red, the vein throbbing along the underside as it rammed against the glass, trapped between his stomach and the mirror, leaking long streaks of pre-cum in wide stripes across the glass. Steve finally tore his eyes away from the sight and kissed the soft skin around Tony's hole again, then scraped his teeth gently over the rim, just barely catching it. Steve heard Tony give a harsh, guttural cry, and before he could react, Tony was twisting around and sinking down in one swift motion, hands twining in Steve's hair and mouth finding his, nearly knocking Steve backwards with the force of it. Tony's tongue raked into Steve's mouth, swiping deep, hard, and insistent. Steve heard the squeak of Tony's hand across the mirror, but didn't register the reason until one of Tony's hands, slick with his own cum, wrapped around Steve's cock, pumping it in swift, practiced strokes. Steve hadn't realized how close he was, because it didn't take long before his body stiffened, balls tightening as Tony's hand twisted around his length, thumb tracing the pulsing vein on the underside, and wrist flicking in sharp, quick motions around the head. He shouted his cry of release into Tony's mouth, spilling himself over Tony's hand and stomach as his hips jerked spasmodically, riding out the crest of pleasure, body instinctively searching for more as he pumped into Tony's hand. Tony's tongue flicked over his mouth again, soft and sure, lips pressing lightly against his own. Not a kiss, but not letting Steve go as he rocked through the last of his orgasm. Tony murmured something into his mouth that was lost to the ringing in Steve's ears, but he felt the cool air against his skin as Tony stood and went to a metal cabinet that stood against one wall. Steve was still kneeling on the mat, covered in his own cum, and staring dazedly at the mess of a mirror when Tony returned. Steve looked up at where Tony stood, cock still laying across the tails of his shirt, staining it with dark, wet streaks. Steve opened his mouth to say something, maybe offer, though he wasn't sure what exactly. His mind had gone comfortably blank. "Put your hands on the mirror," Tony ordered, voice sounding like the scrape of nails on a blackboard, bringing Steve's gaze to the sound of it. Steve stared stupidly at him for a moment, trying to make the words make sense. "Steve," Tony said softly, running a hand through Steve's hair and down his cheek, mimicking the motion he'd used earlier, gentler but just as insistent. "Put your hands on the mirror. I'm going to fuck you against it, and then I'm going to take you to bed, and if you stay," Tony stopped, looking down and away from where Steve knelt on shaking limbs. "Don't say it," Steve thought, but the words to stop him wouldn't come out. What could he say? There was nothing to say. He'd already fallen, and he couldn't stop until he hit bottom. "If you stay, I'll pay double," Tony offered, dragging his gaze back to Steve's. There was such desperate hope, battling with the expectation of disappointment, something Steve knew all too well lately, that Steve didn't need a mirror to see himself. Steve dropped his gaze from Tony's and moved forward on his knees. He braced his hands against the mirror just below the splatters, marking the glass. Tony stood quietly where he was for a long pause, then moved forward, the gym mat squeaking under his feet. Steve felt Tony slide down behind him and heard the snick of the cap from the tube Tony had retrieved. Steve half expected it to be hard and fast, almost would have welcomed that, a pain he could deal with, could take from Tony. But it wasn't like that at all. Tony's hands on him were gentle, as they always were, and that hurt more, Steve thought, though it didn't make any sense. Soft and gentle and careful, skimming over him, mouth and hands, until it was almost too much. Tony's voice murmured words of praise against Steve's skin, and those somehow hurt more than any blow. He wanted to tell him to stop, to just do it, get it over with. But he knew how much that would hurt Tony to hear, and turning his own pain back onto Tony was the one thing in all of this that he could not bring himself to do. He pushed his cock against the cool glass as Tony's fingers breached him, stretched him, and worked him open until Steve thought he would come apart
if Tony didn't hold him together, and then the slow-burning pressure of being filled, long, deep thrusts that made his body bow with pleasure.
I'll pay double. Sign here, please.
He didn't look at his reflection. He'd signed, after all.